Let's come together. Lies in not the bulk of your activity. Look at me. Your religious activity will not make you spiritual. Because we are not even winning in the religious activity thing yet. Because I was sharing with somebody the other time. I said, when I stayed in some part of this country, if you see their devotion, they pray five times a day. And each time they wash to do that. And even the most, you can say, despicable person, that is to say, you see his personality, you see that this person is somebody that can steal somebody's phone on the road. But once it's time to pray, you see the dash, they quickly. And why do they do that? It doesn't touch their spirit. Rather, it satisfies the soul. There's a sense of fulfillment that they get from practicing that. And some do it five times. And they can go hungry for 40 days in fasting. It's like a habit. You can get used to doing things that are supposed to lead you to spirituality. And along the way, let the spirituality go and the things remain. And you end up like these other guys. You end up like these other guys. You go to church, maybe you stay for all the services. You are in all the departments, all the prayer groups. He said, what you do will make you, all of that will make you spiritual. If you are spiritual, you will know. You are the first person to know if you are spiritual. Nobody will tell you. Are you spiritual? Yes, I pray. No, it doesn't make you. Spiritual men pray, but not all prayerful men are spiritual. The Hindu people pray too. The people whose God is dead. You know, there are religious practices that at least they have deity that can do one thing or the other. Right? But there are some, their God is dead. Like, it's not alive. Sam, no life. Right? Some people, their deity can make them even disappear. And we can say, okay, he's alive in a way. But you see, our people, their God is non-existent. It's a concept. It's what? If you are spiritual, look at me. It will awaken your heart. Because Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they will know you. John Wesley had an issue, and he didn't have the assurance of his salvation. And so he heard some of his friends, colleagues, talk about that assurance. He said, what is this assurance? That's the John, it's ever before the John Wesley we are knowing of now. Are we there? And he sat in one service.
You are with me, Reuben. I want you to be here in this service.
He sat in that meeting and the man of God was speaking. And the Methodist will know this story. In his word, he said, I felt my heart strangely warm. That is, while he sat there, his heart came alive. All his biography, go and read it. Even if you Google that phrase, his name will come out. Just say, I felt that's. That, he said, all of a sudden, I knew I was sick. That moment he crossed a threshold, he became alive. Then it is out of that zeal. He even went as a mission. My God, he was coming from somewhere in, I think, Africa, with some Christians he met on a boat, and they were at peace. Storm, you know
this story more than me. Right?
Storm. He said when everybody was shouting, these Christians were at peace. And he looked at them. He said, these guys have something I don't have. He sat with them for them to teach him. But you see, no matter how I teach you, you need to encounter the life of God. It was after he returned frustrated, he admitted, man, I'm not even spiritual yet. I don't have it. And then he had that experience. A lot has been written about the experience, but I want to underscore it that it is the awakening into spirituality. If you don't know if you are spiritual, then maybe you are not. I'm not saying you are not born again. My objective for everyone that comes to here, listens to us, comes around us, is to turn you, to convert all your works into the grace that saves.
Are we together? Father, we worship you.
I want you to see, don't think of, leave whatever you have at home now. This meeting is very precise. Something is going to happen in this meeting. My God. Something is going to happen in this meeting that when you leave here, we know that's what you started with. The halak. Say the halak. Have you found it? Zechariah chapter, is that chapter 4 or 6? 6 verse 4, right? Look at this. Oh, stop here. Let's start from here. I like this. Verse 1. This is what has been happening to many people. No. Go back. Verse 1. He said, then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up like someone awakened from sleep. He was in a vision, but he was asleep in the vision. So they woke him into an encounter. That's what's supposed to happen to you as you are moving. Your light begins to brighten. There's a light in the heart of man. Listen, that's the light. When you become saved, there's a kindling in your heart. There's a light in the heart of man. See, this is the true light that lighted every man. He was coming into the earth. John chapter 1. It was glowing brighter. Sometimes when you come for meeting and you fan it to brightness, some of you leave it, it goes cold again. So the idea is, you are supposed to deploy. Even there's a religious fasting that still doesn't produce result. See, we have to flog a lot of things out, because these other guys go on it for 40 days. And God said, he said, when you fasted, did you even fast for me? There's fasting you can do that heaven is not even acknowledging it. And he said, it's not even the abstinence of food I want. That was Isaiah 58. So there's a way you can fast that is not, heaven is, it doesn't show up in the radar of heaven. They just see that you have not eaten yet. That one is not credited to your spiritual account. You don't believe that there's an account. When Abraham believed God, they say it was accounted to him. It's a conversion. It's as if you deposit 10,000 naira in your forex account, in your domicile account, and then they credit you in dollars. That's what happened. His work of believing, God converted it and credited it to him as righteousness. That's why your abstinence from food converts into spiritual energy. There's that place where it happens. If you don't arrive there, you just be fasting. You'll be like the other guys. If the fire of God does not anoint your works, it won't profit you. Length of prayers. or only generating 1%. It's like you plugged your phone for 4 hours and it was 8%. You came by, you saw only 9. Leakage of power. The connection was not proper. And you're like, what's happening? Only 1%. That's so. The 12 years of Christianity has only produced 1% of result of Christianity. Why? Some are not done through spirituality. So when you come, we now evaluate you by Christ the same way he evaluated us, and giving that grace of teaching. That's what spiritual teacher is. He's not informing your logic. He's building you up with bread so that you can grow. That's why the technique of administering the word of God is not the technique you use to teach further mathematics or advanced engineering mathematics. Because one informs the mind. One is supposed to seep beyond the faculty and start affecting the spirit. This thing I'm telling you is not that we are preaching now. It's for you. We have the attitude of the word of God that once it comes, we look for whom it applies. No, it comes to you first. Every word from God is to you first. Receive it for yourself first and weigh yourself against the standard. Listen to me. Walk with the spirit until you get to the hard places. The what? The hard places, they are the rocky places of the mountain. You think it was easy for Moses climbing those mountains? Have you climbed a rock before? Even if you sit on it, it's hard. If you lie on it, it's hard. You are walking on it, some edges are sharp. It's a rough operation.
Then it leads to your transformation. How many of you sense that? Do you sense something different in you? Lift your hands. See, let me show you. The first thing, 2016, I had to consciously convert people from praying into the universe. They look up to heaven. They don't know if you keep going, you may end up near Mars. To tell them the one you seek is with you already. I remember I went to visit someone in the hospital, and I sat down, and some other persons also had come to see the person. And while we were talking before the other two came, and I looked, I said, the presence of God is here. And then one of the persons, don't know them, they don't know me, and I asked, sir, how do you know? And if the presence of God is in a place. And I say, this one is in my dilemma many years ago. I now said, according to what I taught them shortly, I said, you will only know it by experience. So what we do is we teach you into it. Then you need, this is the presence. Because people think it's when people fall that there's a presence of. The presence can be heavy and everybody is standing. And nobody fell in the service. You, outward man, you are looking for the fallers. Sometimes even get serious. Somebody has fallen. Say, okay, he's here now. You see? They were not closing their eyes. So, okay, he's here now.
Father, we give you praise.
But every one of you knows that presence now. Do you know that presence? You will know it now because you have been coming here, you have been teaching your tongue, your spiritual tongue. How does water test? You don't know it, but if you test water, you know it. If some other people show up now and they say they are coming from Saturn, that there's something they used to call water on earth, and they carry you over there and you sit with their scientists, they say, can you describe the test? That would be your expression. You say, but if I test it, I will know it. It's like seeing something but you didn't remember it, and you tell them, I don't know the number, but if I see it, I will know it. When you begin to cultivate, if it's not the presence, you will know. Once it's Jesus, you will know. Catherine Kuhlman, she walked with Jesus all through the days of her ministry. Tangible proofs. And then one time somebody asked her and said, have you seen Jesus appear to you? Like the way you see an angelic encounter, you see an angel. She said, I have not seen him with my two eyes. Seen him in vision, he has not appeared physically to me the way Kenneth Hagin used to have it. I say, but if he's here, I will know. That is spirituality. God, whom you have not seen, yet you love. How can you love? It means there's something going on deeper. That is spirituality. Your tongue will change. Lift your hands, give him praise. The bread of life is designed to change you. And that is what the word of God is. The word of God is beyond. If you come to this meeting and you try to write and you are not able to write, then just listen, because it has been like that for years. It's not with you it started. People try to write, they can't write, so they just start listening. The bread of life is the word of God. It's not just the precept and the teaching. There's the spiritual meal that gets into you. We are going to enter into that bread of life now. Right? And there will be change. I have something to tell us. That is the objective of today. Father, we give you praise. Reuben, we are about to change the sound now. So maybe you just leave it flat. Go ahead, just talk to him. Talk to him. You are now spiritual now, so be enjoying your new realm. Yes.
Grant me revelation, open up my eyes to the visions of your spirit. Lord, my heart prays. Grant me revelation, open up my eyes to the visions of your spirit. Lord, my heart prays. Grant me revelation, open up my eyes to the visions of your spirit. Lord, my heart prays. Grant me revelation, open up my eyes to the visions of your spirit. Lord, my heart prays. Grant me revelation, open up my heart to
to the visions of your spirit, Lord, my heart prays. Grant me revelation, open all my eyes to the visions of your spirit. Oh, prophets of the kingdom, prophets of the kingdom, prophets of the Lord, prophets of the kingdom, prophets of the kingdom, prophets of the kingdom, prophets of the Lord. The prophets of the kingdom, they have seen into your glory. They've seen into your kingdom in the visions of your spirit. The prophets of the kingdom, they have seen into your glory. They've seen into your kingdom in the visions of your spirit. The prophets of the Lord, they have seen into your glory. They've seen into your kingdom in the visions of your spirit. The prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the Lord, the prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the kingdom. Ooh. To the prophets of the kingdom, they have seen into your glory. They've seen into your kingdom in the visions of your spirit. The prophets of the Lord, they have seen into your glory. They've seen into your kingdom, the visions of your spirit. The prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the kingdom, prophets of the Lord, the prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the kingdom, prophets of the Lord, the prophets of the kingdom, prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the Lord, the prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the kingdom, prophets of the Lord, the prophets of the kingdom, they have seen into your glory, seen into your kingdom in the visions of your spirit. The prophets of the Lord, they have seen into your glory, to see into your kingdom. Prophets of the kingdom, prophets of the Lord, prophets of the kingdom. Ooh. Father, we'll give you praise. Ooh. Father, we'll give you praise. Listen up here. One thing we must, I've taught you about spirituality, just briefly. One thing we must understand is the nature of the Word of God. She can sit for a moment. And there are various degrees to the Word of God. There are what? Uncle Henry, can you sit with me here? There are various degrees to the Word of God. We arrange people during sitting, during meetings.
I once told somebody during a meeting, I said, you are not supposed to be praying there. You are supposed to stand here and pray. And immediately they did. You can leave that thing, Joseph. And immediately they did. Immediately they just stood where I told them to stand. The power of God took them and they started praying under the influence of the Holy Spirit. How many of us remember that? Okay, thank God there are people here. I told them, I said, don't stand here and pray. Stand here. So there's a realm you go to, formation becomes something you must do sensitively. Don't be surprised if you are in a meeting and the Spirit blows you to stand there and pray. Don't say, I'm backing. Leave it. Right? So I adjust people in meetings. But anyway, I put you is because you meet encounter there. You don't like you are sitting in front? It's good for you. Leave it. Glory to God. Yes, I want to teach you true spirituality. By the time you leave here, watch your... There are various degrees to the word of God. There are various degrees to the word of God. There is that reading that informs you about the entirety of the gist of scripture. The entirety of what? The gist of scripture. That is to comprehend the narrative of scripture. And that is accomplished through reading from Genesis to Revelation a couple of times. So that when they ask you, what is the book of Genesis about? You can summarize the 50 chapters. When they ask you, what does Exodus say? You can summarize the 40 chapters. What does Leviticus say? You can summarize the 28 chapters. What does Numbers say? You can summarize the 33 or 34 chapters. Right? And you know it. It's not like you are trying to show. It's a realm of balanced comprehension of the narrative of scripture. You don't know everything in details. But at bird's eye view, you know the holistic gist of scripture. That is not accomplished in one reading, because you will begin from Genesis and end in Revelation and come back again from Genesis and go back to Revelation and come back again until the way you know a movie, you now know it. That's the level of information. But there is the tangible experience, because the Bible was not written from an information point of view. Just want, if I start to write about electrons in physics, I can write it from an intellectual point of view and may not need to add any spiritual effort. And that's why people that are making it in the scholastic realm, the realm of academics, they are not a spiritual per se, but they are intellectual. And there are people that are historians, that the Bible to them is a history book. Because it's one of the most reliable history texts you have, preserved through generations. So when you go to archaeology, you see archaeologists that will show you facts from scripture that you don't know as a believer, and he's not a child of God. He's established in one realm. But the people that wrote the scripture wrote it from a point of experience. When David said he pulled me out of the miry clay, he wasn't trying to be a poet primarily. He's just telling you that there was a situation I was in. A miry clay is what they put Jeremiah in. It's like mud, but once your feet get stuck, you can't even pull it out. You just keep sinking. Somebody will have to pull you out of it. That's why he said he pulled me out of it, and then he set my feet on a rock. What is something that happened to him is writing. When you have such an experience where you are stuck in a situation and you are sinking, the debts are piling, bills are piling, somebody is down, and then life is giving you, and then all of a sudden God comes with a miracle and pulls you up. When you read that text, you will shout. You know why? You know what he is talking about. That's a realm of experience. But there are other realms that may not be experience of what is happening in your natural life that you can give a testimony about. There are experiences of Christ realities.
And I'm standing here today because the word of I've stood in points and scripture talked to me. I saw the word. That is to tell you, this person is now in another zone of encounter and fellowship with the word. At that point, the word ceases to be an intellectual text. It becomes a realm he enters. So I want to bring you to an experience. I pray by God that everyone will live. Forget about that thing. Everyone will live here with that experience. Put up. Don't read it with your mind. Use your heart. It's one realm you need to enter. Put up 2 Corinthians 4 and let's start to read. Don't read it with your what? Mind. Use your heart. Therefore, since through God's... This is NIV now, madam. Therefore, having obtained mercy... Untick the NIV. Both of them are tick. That's why he's there. Therefore, since we have this ministry and as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame. That is, the things you do privately that are shameful, that nobody knows, whatever it is. He's saying to you that we have renounced them. Nobody is aware. But because of what we have received from the Lord, we have renounced it. Not walking in craftiness. There are people that walk craftily. In modern English, you see, it's called taking advantage. Cunning. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Using God's word to pull resources out of people against their will. Stealing by the word. Right? But by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves every man to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. What it tells you is that there are a group of people, go back there. There are a group, when you read scripture and I pause to expound on it, please leave it, right? There are a group of people that no, the gospel doesn't appear to them. It's like this. Here's my Bible. A veil is usually thick. You can't see what is here if you didn't know it's a Bible. So you move around with what is good, but they can't see it. To them, the gospel is veiled. But Paul said it is veiled to those who are perishing, who are under Satan's rule. Go to verse 4. Whose minds the God of the age has blinded, who do not believe. Lest, so here there is a blindness of the mind. Ask, are you blind mentally? It underscores a condition. He said, and this blindness is not just something you can say, are you not seeing it? He says, the devil himself, that it's a spiritual attack. It's what? It's blindness mentally. So that they will not believe. You know, listen, there are two faculties that are responsible for sight. I know you think it's your eyes. Yeah. But not just your eyes, it's light. With your eyes open in a dark room, you won't see anything. There are objects, there is gold, there are treasures around you. You just keep bumping into it. Why? But your eyes are opened. The absence of light. So Satan says, I can't stop the light, but I will blind their eyes. So the blind man born from birth,
even if he's 70, doesn't know what the sun looks like. So your gospel is so intense, he doesn't care how bright, he will keep them blind. So if you keep saying, Lord, keep shining through me, he'll be shining through you, but they will be blinder. Who is the image of God? Should do what? Shine on them. Move on. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus. Now move to the next chapter. This is where I want to preach. For it is the God who commanded the light. This is the scripture I want you to have. It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Who has shone where? Shone where? See, it's possible for you not to have this experience, but I know what that is talking about. That there is a light that shines in your heart. It's not in your eye. It's not in your body. It shines. Paul is saying that for me and for a group of us, it is God who come. It is. He said he shone in our hearts. There are realms of reality you can never touch unless you come into encounter with this experience of God. And look at what he said. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Listen, you will never know the face of Christ until that you have this first experience. Who shine? You can see that the entirety of everything I say, if you take every message, teaching I give you, you can find some of the theme here. The light, the heart, the glory, Jesus Christ. Have you this experience? Because once the light shines, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God comes. Once it arrives in your heart, sir, you will see the face of Jesus. You will find the face physically. But it's here. Now look at me. How many of you, can you see your mom now? But there's an image of your mom in your heart. Where is it? Touch it. You can't touch it. If they even say draw it, you can't draw it. You have a brother. You can see his face. But not tangibly. But you can see it. That's what happens. You can see the face of Christ. That's what Colin Coleman was saying. Until this encounter begins, this face of Jesus Christ. See, Kenneth Hagin said he prayed for 2 years. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. For 2 years. He said at the second year when the encounter began, an insight to the word happened. He told his wife, what have I been preaching since? There was a world of difference. One of the greatest theologians, Christian, that has existed in through history. His name is Thomas Aquinas. He has written one of the most notable Christian work. It's called the Summa Theologica. If you are doing Christian philosophy, you encounter the book. Christian rationalist, irrational thinker, a philosopher. His Summa. They call it Summa, right? But as beautiful as that work is, as notable as it is, the work is incomplete. Because he wrote the work under inspiration. So he wasn't writing, he had a scribe. When he starts speaking, when he will just enter the realm and be talking, the scribe is noting what he's saying. He's communicating. Then one day in his encounters, he saw Christ. And then he stopped writing the book. And when his scribe met him, he asked, why did we stop? Let's continue. He said, I have seen the Lord. Everything I've written is like straw to me. Now he stopped it. That nothing I have written equates what I have seen of him. So I stopped the work. He died. He did. It wasn't like so. He didn't complete the book because he saw the face of Christ. Why couldn't he put? He would have said, "Let's revise it." Mystery. That's why there's a song that said that our eyes may see your mystery. So we. It's happening now as I'm talking to you now. Some of you that have that light, it's just shining, bearing witness to you that this is what you have. It is the God. Somebody joined our online meeting from Lagos and called me after the meeting. He said, when you were speaking, I didn't see it, but there was a light in my heart. You not see it, but yet you are calling. He said, a light just flashed in my eye. And I knew what the light was. Not something they saw, but they just sensed that their light, their hearts became bright. Just a light. They have jumped into 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6. If they proceed now and start studying and fasting and lingering, just praising and worshiping, then the way you see your mom's face, and she's not here with you, you see a face, and you know it's the Lord. You now know the presence of Christ. That is spirituality. You now realize that you don't have to jump when praying and all that. You could do it depending on the realm you have entered. But you can just be alive with God. Oh, yeah. Do you see that realm? Look at me. Do you see that realm? Reality. Somebody say reality. This, now listen, Peter, you know, I have such a similar story of St. Thomas of Aquinas. You know me since 2016. That was the first time you met me was in a meeting. Can you give him the mic? Come, please. I want to do a small interview. How was that meeting? That was interesting. What did you see?
Praise the Lord.
Yes, go on.
I actually came 100 level, and that was the first time coming to
the fellowship. The fellowship, yes.
Yeah. So, and I remember vividly.
That was when. Then I used to wear suit.
So he was wearing a white suit, and I was astonished of what was happening, because that was the first time in my life I was seeing a meeting like that. I saw people under power. I saw strange manifestation, and I was seated at the back. I was just aghast. I was carried away. I was like, because usually I used to see maybe big men of God and all of these things, but seeing this
small, I couldn't see it. You can imagine what I was looking like that year. All right.
So after that, I don't know. I started staying away from him. I started staying away from him.
He ran away. He became afraid of me. Now, I'm going somewhere with that, Peter. Thank you. But how many of you are here and have taught you? That's 2016 downwards. How many of you have been here and have taught you and I've mentioned dates beyond 2017? You don't recall? Why? It was 2017. This happened. Ever since, anything beyond that. Do you get what I'm saying? Why I said that, I was trying to point out to you that the hand of God had been there before that year. I called him out because he knew me in 2016. But after 2017, when God gave us the privilege of entering this zone, you don't hear me talk much calling 2015. You don't. There is such a realm and encounter you will have. And when we had that privilege, my God. In 2018, I was somewhere in February with joy. I was trying to unveil to them. Zero did he understand. I was trying to share what I had by God. The things I was comprehending, the insight God was giving me, the mysteries my heart was receiving. The people there didn't know what I was saying. So I ended, closed the meeting and encouraged them, let's be trusting and let's be praying. You know why? Some, they had not had this. So even while I spoke, the light is Christ that will help you. It is with this zone that everything you see me share with you, it has happened many times because there are levels to this. With you guys I have encountered in this meeting, I don't need again. See, like, even at 80, then he will shine a brighter light. And then everything you knew before again will now become like straw back. If your Christian life, the things behind you are not looking like straw, then maybe you are not progressing. That's why Paul kept saying, forgetting the things behind. Because every time he comes, he compares it. It's like straw. The straw he meant was the straw, the one they used to build the hut, that chaff that catches fire. Like, that's what he meant. It's worthless.
We give you praise.
I called him out to just to show you that even in contemporary times,
it happens.
And when that light began, that's when I began to comprehend the age. The what? The level of comprehension I received from God in a period of, I nearly ran from myself. Because I was wondering how I was knowing the things I was knowing. And no man was there teaching me. That's where they say the spirit in man. When God moves, understanding begins to flow. That's when I saw the age. That's why I saw the purposes. That's why I saw the purposes of God. Everything, every structure of revelation, body of knowledge from God began from the encounter with this that started about a decade ago. Your whole life, we have to start here. It doesn't matter what you know now. If it doesn't start from here, you are in the straw zone. You are what? I told somebody, I said, your education is good, but be sure that the destiny you are living comes from the life of Christ.
And there's nothing he will not do.
Today I want to share a vision. A what? That came out of the light of God. It's a vision that pertains to this age. I've seen the future. I keep saying that through the vision of the word of God, I've seen what it will look like. When I saw the apostolic revelation, apostolic revolution, there were not so many apostles around. But between that time and now, you can see many, many apostles that have emerged. Between that time and now, some of the foremost apostles, if you go back to that year and check for look out for them, you won't see them. Jesus gave that grace. That's where we are. That's why we are confident. That's why we can lead a generation. It's not like some, because we have seen it in the word. The what? The unveiling of the word. Remember, if you are going forward, ensure you are going forward according to this drumbeat. If not, you are in the straw zone. I had this vision first 2017, and then it came back 2019. The The vision of the word I'm sharing with you today came back 2019. It keeps coming back. It came back a few days ago, but with a level of clarity we have never seen before. It has started. Grant me revelation. Open up my heart to the visions of your spirit. Lord, my heart prays. Grant me revelation. Open up my heart to the visions of your spirit. Lord, my heart prays. Grant me revelation. Open all my eyes to the visions of your spirit. Lord, my heart prays. Grant me revelation. Open all my eyes to the visions of your spirit. Grant me revelation. Open up my eyes to the visions of your spirit. Lord, my heart prays. Grant me revelation. Open up my eyes to the visions of your spirit. Lord, my heart prays. Grant me revelation. Open up my eyes to the visions of your spirit. Lord, my heart prays. Grant me revelation. Open up my eyes to the visions of your spirit. Prophets of the kingdom, they have seen into your glory. They have seen into your kingdom in the visions of your spirit. See the prophets of the Lord, they have seen into your glory. They have seen into your kingdom in the visions of your spirit. See the prophets of the kingdom, they have seen into your glory, seen into your kingdom in the visions of your spirit. Oh, the prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the Lord, the prophets of prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the kingdom, ooh, the prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the kingdom, the prophets of the Lord. See the prophets of the kingdom, they have sing into your glory. I've seen into your kingdom in the visions of your spirit. See the prophets of the Lord, they have seen into your glory, seen into your kingdom. Yeah. Oh.
Just give him praise. Thank him. This is prophets of the kingdom. Can you sing? The prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the Lord sing. The prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the Lord. Hey, the prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the kingdom. Of the Lord. The prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the Lord. The prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the Lord. The prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the kingdom. Ooh. The prophets of the kingdom. 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 The prophets of the Lord.
See, to understand this vision, my God, you can sense the power in the song, right? Remains sealed. There's a new grace here. Some things we all see. Their encounters going on already. When you sang, they came and poured wisdom on your heart. For some of you, they opened your heart to receive, to be able to connect at another level, at another height, at another depth. This vision began in 2018, like I said, when God took me through in a journey through the entire book of Revelations. The book of what? The book of Revelation. And I remember in that period, and even up to now, I retained the entirety of the book. Because when God teaches you, you into your heart. Does what? He teaches you into your heart. That means he will etch it. He said, I will write the law in their heart. So he will etch the knowledge in your heart. Can you forget your child's name? No. He etches it. And I came into that truth when he was leading us through that book. I came into that junction. 2019 again, we went to that same junction. When you read the book of Revelations chapter 1, you see that it begins with the revelation of Jesus Christ. See the way it began. Then that's not what I meant. What I meant was that the book opens up with an encounter with him. But the book started with the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is another score of our assignment. Look at this. Which God gave to him. Now, some of us think that, listen, it means, some people read it and think, okay, Jesus is appearing. It means that an information, a knowledge, the way somebody say, I had a revelation. It means now he saw something, he had a vision. this, you know, he said that some things, even it's only the Father that knows. This revelation, the Father gave it to him to give his servant. So it's called, like, you know, you see the book of John, the book of Isaiah. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You must understand the language of the introduction. Some read it and say Jesus appeared. What it means is that we can remove that revelation and call it the book of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. So God gave him that revelation as a son and said to him, show it to your servants. And these are things which must take place. And then he sent it through an angel and said, give John. You must get that introduction. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. Let's not go there. When you read the book, leave it there. John was in the spirit in Patmos. That is the portion of those who suffer for the word. He said, I was exiled in Patmos for the word of God. Have you suffered for the word? Have you fasted for the word? Or you read it and as devotion? These are people that for the word, they kicked him out of civilization and said, dwell in an island surrounded by water, dissociated from community. Have you been like that for the word? You want to assess the depth. You study it in convenience. So, there was one time by God's word, when they gifted me this Bible, I was telling them it was given in June 29. By July, I had almost finished it. My roommate would leave the house, go to class, attend meetings, go to class to read. He comes back 3 a.m. I'm like this. An exam was around the corner. Don't do like that if you don't have the other gift. He was reading for exam. That's why he was coming home around 3 a.m. For the word, what have you suffered for the word? Have you turned off your phone, turned off everything, and went for 7 days and didn't see anything except scripture? No, not those dirty things. What? Nothing. No. Just the word. No, nothing. Cleansing your heart and put yourself through torture. So the word. This was where John. Go to verse 2. That's where he says it. He greets the church first. Move it. I was in the island. I think that should be. No, the greetings first. Go to verse 8. John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation, kingdom, and patience, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God. The condition I'm experiencing is the word of God that put me there. And while he was there, he was not grumbling. He was there. Was in the spirit. And then he heard a voice loud as trumpet. I am Alpha and Omega. What? What is that? The first and the last. What you see, write in a book, send it to the 7 churches. And then go to verse 12. And then he was in worship, but the voice sounded from behind. When he turned, he saw 7 golden lampstands. They were giant stands where you hang, put candles. And then in the midst of it, he saw a being. He said he was clothed from
from the feet was gathered about. Now go to the next chapter. What verse? Sorry. His head was pure white. His eyes, fire was coming out. His feet as brass. And when he spoke like this noise of the ocean. I am Alpha, Majesty. His hand, there were seven stars. Out of his mouth, two swords, sharp, was coming. When he spoke, sword was. That's how you would defeat your enemy. When he spoke, sword was just sharp sword, just proceeding from the mouth. If you look at him, it's if he wore the sun on a afternoon, shining when the sun is shining the most. So that's what he looked like. Go, what happened to him? And when he saw him, he just died. He fainted. That's the son of, that's Christ. He fainted at his feet. He just fainted. And the voice, he laid hand on him and said, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last." Leave it at that, first and the last. Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. This begins the revelation. From here, he sends him to seven churches. When you go to verse 4, he meets the throne. Verse 5, he sees the scrolls. Verse 6, chapter 6, I'm talking about chapters now. He breaks the scrolls. Chapter 7, the people that praise. Chapter 8, the seventh scroll, and then the interlude, where he said there was silence for 30 minutes in heaven. And then seven angels came with seven trumpets. If you go to chapter 10, there is a huge angel that came down. He was so huge. 1 foot was in the sea. 1 foot was on the land. When he roared, seven thunders answered him. And the angel, and the voice told him, he said, "Go and eat the book that the angel carries." When he ate the book, he told him, he said, "When the seventh angel shall sound his trumpet, the mysteries of God will be completed." Go to, "But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel," because seven angels appeared, this with seven trumpets. He said, "When the seventh angel is about to sound, what will happen? All the mysteries of God," that is the purposes of God, the things he has determined for this creation that he has is recovering, he said, would have completed it as he declared to his servants, the prophets. "The prophets of the kingdom, they have seen into your glory, seen into your kingdom in the visions of your spirit." Go to the last verse of chapter 11. Because in chapter 11, the two anointed ones show up. Go to verse 18. Listen, that's what I'm looking for. 15. This is that seventh angel that they said once he blows, the mysteries will end. Then the seventh, I've not taught you guys these things before. Not like you get. The seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, that's the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. It is at that sound, that seventh annunciation, something triggers.
the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and we shall reign forever. God, something mysterious then happens. The last verse now. The temple of God was now opened in heaven. The last verse of this chapter. Just scroll and click it. Then the temple of... You didn't know there's temple in heaven. And see, and the ark, the one Moses saw and built. This is the original one. And the ark of his covenant was seen. This is the Davidic temple where the ark is inside the temple, not a tabernacle. He said, and there were lightnings, noise, thunderings, an earthquake, and great hail. Listen, this is John now. They told John that seventh angel, the mysteries of God will finish. So we can rightly say from here, time has ended. Are you there? But then something strange happens. Chapter 12. And this is what I'm teaching you. Makasute leberedia shepedio. Now hold on, leave it there for a moment. I want you to see on you. Are you inside the book with me? Go back to the last verse of that. Use the history pane. It's on your right hand. Every scripture you've played, you see it there. Don't keep scrolling. Have you found it? Good. When this happens, the mysteries of God has finished, like the angel said. That's why they had to say that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. That is US, Ukraine, Russia, Jamaica, Indonesia, India, all their kingdoms. Christ has now owned them. Potentially. Right? He owns it, but now he has now finally come to own it tangibly. It has been converted. And so, John would have... Oh, the vision has finished. Then, but no. Christ was not even done with him. This thing I want to show to you, it has been the subject of many theological, scholastic approach. But it is so significant it came by light. And which is the vision of John in Revelation 12. Pay attention. Revelation 12. When John was just here, because he was in the spirit, he looked into the firmament. Because when you hear heaven, it means heaven, the spirit realm of God. It also means the firmaments, the cosmos, the universe, where you see the galaxies and the stars. A great sign appeared. After they said the kingdoms of the world are finished. And a woman showed up. Follow this now. Clothed with the sun. With the moon under her feet. And on her head, a crown that had 12 stars. Have you seen this kind of thing before? Jesus is showing you a vision. And then, just a great vision. You have seen, and then a woman appears with wearing the sun. She's stepping on the moon. And then the stars make up her crown. Prophets of the kingdom. You see the prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the Lord. The prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the kingdom. The prophets of the See the prophets of the kingdom. They have seen into your glory. They have seen into your kingdom. In the visions of your spirit. Move on. Then being with child, she cried out. Now, that's not only the sign. The woman was also pregnant. She cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. So we have a woman in heaven, not God, like in the firmament. Just like you look to the sky at night now, you see, the way you see the stars, you see a woman appear, wearing the sun, stepping on the moon, the crown, and she's pregnant. Move. As if that was not enough. Then John looked again, then he saw another sign appeared in the same firmament. And this one was a great fiery red dragon. Your dragons are not fictional entities. This guy is seeing dragon in the realm of the spirit. How does a cherubim look like? It has four faces, eyes all around. Its feet stand straight, but it doesn't have feet. It has hoofs like horse. It has a man's hand inside. And then it has four wings. When you see it, you know it's a cherubim. So that's the creature. That's the shape of a cherubim. When you see a dragon, it's telling you it's another spirit being. It's not fiction. It's in John's vision. When they lead you, if God ever leads you through the valley of the shadow of darkness, and you see all the creatures in prison, that the one that Jude said they are bound in darkness, they have lost their glory, you start seeing, okay, you see some as dragons. They are not lame, they are intelligence. The same way cherubim is wise. They don't have to look like you. You are another creature of God. You are another creature of God. You see some dragons bound. Like, is this one a creation too? Elohim, you mean you created? Then you will know, like I said to Gideon the other time, there are more realities in heaven than on earth. Now, it has seven heads. It's one dragon, but its head is seven. 10 horns. I don't know the distribution of the horns, but surely some heads have more than one horn. And on each head had a crown. God will strengthen you, sir. Should we give you a break? Oh, you are good. Give him water, please. It's not easy to do that thing he's doing. Your fingers move like this for hours. It's only the grace of God, which we are praying to be multiplied. Now, this dragon that he saw, he stood before the woman in heaven. And his idea, his plan, was to just wait for the woman. Once she gives birth, he will just eat the child. That's why he was in heaven. And I can just picture John. What is going on? Why is the pregnant woman? And then just this fearful dragon wanting to eat the child, to abort it on birth. Go on. And immediately the woman bore a child, a son. And John was now seeing that the destiny of the child was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That's scepter. That thing the king used to hold. What they call a scepter. You know that, right? He said that was the destiny of the child. To rule all, not all nations. All nations. And here's something that happened. Once she gave birth to that child, before the dragon will want to carry out his agenda, the child was just caught up to God and his throne. move. There's a way this book is written. It was after how many years I discovered the fragments. That's why I'm skipping some verses. After how many years I discovered the book is the vision is broken. Any chapter or verse I skip, I'll come back to you, come back to it at the right place where it should come in. Move this place. So something happens. When the child got caught up to throne, caught up to the throne of God. Pray.
Prophets of the Lord, they have seen into your glory, seen into your kingdom, in the visions of your spirit.